Chapter 6 The Assignment. It took a while to confirm that the necklace was truly missing. My first assumption, and most everyone else's, was that it had simply been knocked aside during the chaos with Sasquatch. So we all set to work, cleaning up the McCracken's room, while Candace tried to recall the exact events of the night before. She was a little hazy on the details, which made sense as she had just been through a traumatic experience. To the best of her recollection, she had come directly to the room after dinner, bringing the plate of crumble and ice cream with her because she was in a hurry to get unpacked. Candace had arrived from New York with 5 large pieces of luggage, so unpacking was going to take a while. She had still been wearing the sapphire necklace when she and JJ had their argument. After she had kicked him out of the room, she had gotten ready for bed, during which time she thought that she had taken off the necklace and placed it in her jewelry case, which was a large, sturdy box the size of a toaster oven. But Candace wasn't completely sure of that. She admitted she might have simply left the necklace on the table, intending to put it in the case but forgetting. She also wasn't sure whether she had locked the case or not. And when pressed, she owned that she might not have placed the necklace on the table at all, although if she hadn't, then she didn't know where in the room she had put it. In any event, as we cleaned the room, it became clear that the necklace was gone. Candace's jewelry case had broken open, scattering earrings and smaller necklaces across the floor, but the expensive necklace in question wasn't among them. We also rooted through the wreckage of everything else that had been left on the table and scoured the rest of the room, thinking that perhaps the necklace had been catapulted into a distant nook or cranny when Sasquatch upended the table. We searched under the master bed and the sofa bed Summer had slept on, poked through the bookcases, and even checked the closet, just in case the necklace had skittered under the door. But we couldn't find it anywhere. This left JJ in an extremely foul mood. He was obviously still livid at Candace for bringing the necklace to the ranch, although he was doing his best to not lash out at her, given that she was in a bad state, rattled by the experience with Sasquatch and feeling terrible about the loss of her jewels. On top of that, JJ was embarrassed that everyone knew he'd been forced to sleep on the couch, and because we had all seen him in his underwear. Finally, he'd been shot with an arrow. The wound had turned out to be superficial and easily bandaged with gauze and surgical tape, but still, it looked like it hurt. "That stupid freaking bear must have eaten our jewels," JJ fumed. It was now just after 5 in the morning, and the sky outside was beginning to show the faintest glow of light on the eastern horizon. We had finally finished cleaning the room, although the burned pronghorn still reeked and needed to be hauled to the trash. The Krautheimers had moved on to dealing with the wreckage of their living room, aided by Karina and Pete. Ray had somehow managed to sleep through the entire ordeal and was still in bed. So my family and the McCrackens were the only ones in their room. "I don't think that's really likely," Mom said.
"Now you're a bear specialist?" JJ asked testily. "In addition to gorillas?"
Mom gave him an icy stare to let him know she didn't appreciate his tone. "It doesn't take a specialist to know that bears don't normally eat jewelry."
"I'm not saying it came in here to eat the jewelry," JJ argued. "I'm saying it came in here to eat the dessert Candace left behind and gobbled down the necklace along with it."
"Dad," Summer said, "this wasn't a small necklace. How would a bear eat it by mistake?"
"Maybe Candace got some whipped cream or pie on it," JJ suggested. "The plate was right there next to the jewelry box. Or maybe the bear was so hungry he decided to just eat everything in sight. You saw him. He was sucking up the contents of this table like an industrial vacuum cleaner. I know sharks eat weird stuff all the time. Well, maybe some bears do too." My father said,
"That's still a stretch."
"Well, what else could have happened?" JJ demanded. "The necklace was locked in here with Summer and Candace. Then the freaking bear got in. After that, the necklace was gone."
No one answered him right away, because none of us had another suggestion. Finally, Mom said,
"You're sure the room was locked?"
"I definitely locked the door before we went to bed," Candace said. "I remember that for sure. I..."
She glanced at JJ, embarrassed, then looked back to Mom.
"I was angry at JJ and wanted to make sure he stayed out on the couch."
"I remember her locking it," Summer added, "and the windows were locked too. I had to undo mine to get out."
"That's right,"
I agreed, remembering it, then shifted my attention to the door of the room. It was no longer attached to its frame, as Sasquatch had knocked it clean off. We had propped it back against the wall. It had the same style of sliding latch that the door to our room had, and this was still screwed to the door. The latch had fitted into a metal sleeve on the door jamb, but that piece was now missing. Instead, there were only four holes in the jamb where the screws that held the metal sleeve had torn free. I pointed them out to everyone. "That's definitely proof the door was locked. If it hadn't been, the sleeve for the latch would still be attached here."
Dad looked to Candace and Summer.
"Were both of you here in this room all night after you locked the door?"
Candace asked sarcastically,
"You mean, did we leave an extremely expensive piece of jewelry out in the open and then go take a walk in the middle of the night?"
"No."
"I think he's just asking if maybe we ever went to get a drink of water or anything like that,"
Summer said diplomatically.
"I was asleep in here the whole time until the bear showed up. Were you?"
"Yes," Candace said. "You know me. Once I've taken my pill, I can sleep through anything."
"Except a grizzly bear coming into your room," I observed.
Dad leaned against the wall by the charred pronghorn, trying to work things out. "So no one could get in until Sasquatch showed up, and then the necklace disappeared." He looked to Mom. "Maybe he did eat the necklace."
"That's what I've been saying," JJ declared, then thought to ask, "Either of you have any idea how long it takes something to go through a grizzly's digestive tract?"
No, Mom replied. "As you said, I don't study bears."
"I'd guess somewhere around 8 to 12 hours, Dad suggested.
8 to 12 hours, JJ exclaimed. "We've got to track that dang bear down fast, before he poops that necklace out in the woods somewhere. Then we'll never find it."
He stormed out of the room, calling for Sidney Krautheimer. Candace burst into tears.
"JJ was right. I should never have brought that necklace here."
Summer put an arm around her mother to comfort her.
"It's not your fault. No one could have imagined anything like this would happen. I mean, a grizzly breaking into our room in the middle of the night? That's crazy."
"It broke in because of me," Candace wailed. "I brought the dessert in here and then didn't take my dirty plate back to the kitchen. That's probably why the bear came in. That's why it ate my necklace, my beautiful necklace."
She put her head in her hands and cried. I looked around the room, thinking. There was something about the dessert that bothered me, although I couldn't quite figure out what. All I could think was that Summer was right. It was odd that the bear had come into the house, on that night of all nights. I didn't know for sure, but I had to assume occurrences like this were extremely rare. Otherwise, the Krautheimers would have doors like the ones on bank vaults to keep the bears from getting in. Which made me remember something important. "The front door was open," I said.
"What?" Summer asked. "When?"
"When Sasquatch first came into the house," I said, thinking back. "The front door was wide open behind him. He didn't knock it off the hinges like the door to this room. It was like someone had let him in." I can't imagine anyone would do that, Mom said, or could do that. How would you lure a bear into the house? And why?
To cover up the theft of a necklace, I suggested.
Everyone in the room looked at me with surprise.
Teddy?
J.J. McCracken's voice rang out from somewhere else in the house.
I need to talk to you.
I looked to my parents for an indication as to what I should do. They both nodded, so I left the room to go find J.J. He was in the living room, by himself.
Where are the Krautheimers? I asked. Organizing a bear hunt, he replied.
I must have made a face, because he quickly added,
They're not going to kill Sasquatch. They're just going to track him down, so we can keep an eye on him until he poops again. Sydney, Melissa, and Evan are upstairs changing. Heidi went out to the bunkhouse to wake the ranch hands.
And you want me to go with them? I asked, wondering why he had called for me.
Oh, gosh, no, he said quickly, as if the idea of me going after a bear was ridiculous. They're going on horseback. You'd fall off before you made it 6 feet.
I'm not that bad, I told him.
Point is, you have other talents that could be of use.
J.J. glanced back toward the guest bedrooms, as if worried that we might be overheard, then took me by the arm and led me out the back door onto the porch, which was cold, as it was still 15 minutes until sunrise. Even then, when we were far away from everyone else, he lowered his voice to a whisper.
Has anything struck you as odd about what happened tonight?
Yes, I began, although before I could even explain what, J.J. interrupted.
Me too, he exclaimed. Something here stinks like what bears do in the woods.
So you think that maybe Sasquatch didn't eat that necklace?
I don't know what to think. I mean, it certainly seems like Sasquatch ate it, but I need to cover all my bases here. That necklace is worth a lot of money. A lot. Much more than my wife realizes.
How much? J.J. hesitated, as though unsure whether or not to trust me, then gave in.
The fact is, I got a great deal on it when I first bought it for her. It was the deal of a lifetime. The value of that necklace, or really, the sapphire in the middle of it, has gone through the roof. Last time I had it appraised, which was over a year ago, it was worth $8.2 million.
I blinked at him in the dusky light, wondering if I had heard him properly.
Did you say $8.2 million? Yes, which is why I wasn't pleased to see Candace showing up here wearing it like a piece of costume jewelry. And now, exactly what I was worried about has happened. It's gone.
J.J. focused his gaze on me.
And just in case that bear didn't take it, then I want you to find out who did.
Me? I asked. Not the police?
J.J. signaled me to lower my voice, then whispered, You're smarter than any police detective I know, Theodore. And frankly, I doubt the police would even believe me if I told them the necklace had been stolen. But more importantly, there's another reason to not bring the police in. If I do that, the thief might realize I'm on to them.
Oh, I said, understanding. You want them to think you believe Sasquatch did it.
Exactly. If someone really did steal that necklace, let's let them think they got away clean. Maybe they'll drop their guard. Some of these people know about your talent for solving crimes, but the others don't. Or maybe they think the stories are all overblown. You're only a kid, for Pete's sake. In the meantime, keep your eyes peeled and your ears tuned for anything suspicious. Can you do that for me?
I suppose. In truth, I was daunted by the case. I had no idea how someone could have stolen the necklace from inside a locked room, or how Sasquatch tied into it. But for the second time in a day, I was intrigued by the mystery and excited by the idea of solving it. However, it seemed foolish to simply agree to something that would be time-consuming and potentially perilous, right in the midst of my first vacation in years.
especially when a billionaire was asking me to do it.
This sounds pretty difficult, I said, and I've ended up in a lot of danger when investigating cases before.
I'll pay you, JJ said quickly, seeing as you'd be working for me. Consider it a summer job.
How much are you paying? I asked. If I recover the necklace for you, it seems that maybe I'd be entitled to 1% of its worth.
JJ stared at me blankly for a moment, and then burst into laughter.
You're smart, all right, Theodore. I'm not going to pony up that much, but if you recover that necklace, I promise I'll make it worth your while. Do we have a deal?
Can Summer help me? Like, as my assistant?
JJ considered this, then frowned. To be honest, I'd prefer that even she didn't know you were investigating for me. She's a bright kid, too, but I'm not sure that she could keep this a secret.
I don't know if I can keep this from her. We're supposed to be on vacation together. Plus, I don't like lying to her.
You won't have to lie if she doesn't ask what you're up to. Now, time's slipping away. What do you say? Will you take the case?
I thought for a bit. The case was formidable, but I was excited by the challenge. There were plenty of things that bothered me about the events of the previous night, and I wanted to get to the bottom of it all. I wanted to find the necklace, and earning some money wouldn't be so bad either.
Sure, I said. I'm on the job.